KQED.
It's Morning Edition on KQED. I'm Joshua Johnson. Yet another Jurassic Park sequel is dominating the box office this summer, underscoring the star power of dinosaurs. Captivated as some of us are with bringing them back, scientists still argue over what caused their extinction 66 million years ago. It's not as settled as you might think. Here's KQED science reporter Daniel Potter.
The door into Charles Marshall's lab is heavy, metal. Looking through the glass porthole, it's easy to imagine a toothy Spielbergian velociraptor glaring from the other side.
The door locks! Ellie, boot up the door locks!
Never thought of that before. Mm-hmm. It leaves its breath, choof, against it.
Marshall directs Berkeley's Museum of Paleontology. No breathing dinos here. Next to his desk sits the skull of a Triceratops relative. Nearby, fossilized feet the size of tree stumps. He has drawers full of everything from footprints to prehistoric scat.
Do we actually know what killed the dinosaurs?
No. No. I guess the answer is no.
In fact, Marshall says up to the 1970s, there wasn't even a good guess.
There were dozens of hypotheses, and basically no one took any of them seriously.
Until UC Berkeley scientists, led by the father-son duo of Louis and Walter Alvarez, came out with the idea Earth got slammed by a giant meteorite, or maybe a comet. Whatever it was the size of San Francisco. The theory got a major boost when researchers found a huge crater in Mexico on the present-day Yucatan Peninsula.
With the finding of the smoking gun, then the fact that there was a large meteorite started to become broadly accepted. And so it sort of started to evolve into meteorite versus volcanism as the two hypotheses.
Volcanoes. They're the culprit in most every big extinction we know of, going back hundreds of millions of years. And the meteor just happened to hit in the midst of a huge wave of volcanic activity in India, a place called the Deccan Traps. So for years, scientists have argued back and forth, impact, volcanoes, impact, volcanoes. Enter Berkeley geophysicist Mark Richards.
I realized that the size of the impact is likely large enough to have triggered volcanoes, volcanic systems around the planet.
Richards is the lead author of a new proposal connecting the two theories.
We know a good bit about how earthquakes trigger volcanoes.
By Richards' calculation, the energy of a rock the size of Mount Everest smashing down from space was enough to unleash a magnitude 11 quake. 11?
You ever seen the movie Spinal Tap?
That's the classic mockumentary about a rock band with amps that turn up higher than 10?
These go to 11.
Well, it's not exactly like, it's actually not true that the magnitude scale only goes 1 to 10.
In earthquake terms, higher than 10 is a nightmare. This quake would have been hundreds of times worse than the big one San Francisco felt in 1906. Richard says it would have rattled the globe, even volcanoes on the other side of the globe at India's Deccan Traps.
So the idea is that that system may have been kicked into high gear by the impact.
Richards is careful to say if he's right, and it turns out the two events are connected, we still don't know precisely what killed the dinosaurs. Rather, the proposal points the way to a new investigation.
We just have to abandon the idea that it's one or the other.
That's Paul Rennie, director of the Berkeley Geochronology Center and co-author on Richards' paper. Rennie says the impact itself, or a wave of volcanism, could have turned loose a massive outpouring of noxious gases, accompanied by wild swings in temperature. It might have been CO2 and a greenhouse effect, or
sulfate aerosols, which if they get up into the atmosphere, can actually reflect enough sunlight that it results in cooling.
Sudden cooling might have even been the first part of a double event, followed by a long warming trend from so much CO2. Whether the dinosaurs died in a single bad weekend or a years-long collapse of the food web isn't clear. But the effects were felt even by tiny ocean creatures, some of which suddenly wink out of the geologic record as well.
The potential effects of either an impact or massive volcanism in many respects can be the same. The symptoms would be indistinguishable.
Rennie says now the key will be getting more precise dates for when exactly the impact and the eruptions all happened. A backlog of samples is already waiting, heaped in canvas sacks outside Rennie's office.
These are all bags of rocks from the Deccan Traps of India.
The dull gray rocks appear unremarkable to the untrained eye.
See how ugly that is?
or for that matter, to the eye of a self-professed rock aficionado like Rennie. Courtney Sprain helps test these rocks. Sprain is a PhD student and helped author the new theory. Her specialty is a magnetometer. It's in a wood-paneled basement room, insulated from outside magnetism. Pull out a compass in here, and it'll just go haywire and give up. When the Earth's magnetic core shifts, as it sometimes does, from north to south, it leaves a record in the rocks. Sprain teases out these clues to refine the timescale. She says the measurements are getting more and more precise.
We're getting precision of, 20,000 years, whereas before it was 500,000, a million.
Ratcheting up that precision will be a crucial next step, says Eldridge Moores, the eminent UC Davis geologist known for his role in the book Assembling California. He says it's like a detective trying to figure out someone's exact time of death.
You have to know that. That's essential information before you can answer the next question, which is why.
Moores still recalls how the space rock idea, which today many fourth graders can tell you about, was initially met with skepticism.
I think, took a few times reading papers and talking to Walter Alvarez and reading a couple of his books to realize he's really on to something really big here.
Sitting at his dining room table, I posed a familiar question to Moores. Do we know what killed the dinosaurs? He told me no, but he thinks we're getting closer. I'm Daniel Potter, KQED News.
More Bay Area news is just ahead. You're listening to Morning Edition on KQED.
Support of KQED Science is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, Hope Lab, and the George G. and Jeanette A. Stewart Charitable Trust.